Welcome to Shenanigans. This is Aisha.
Hello, hello, it's Bria.
Hi, it's Brittany.
Hey, y'all, it's Jenny.
Hey, hey, it's Tyra.
And we are a dose of melanin empowerment that is a reminder of how bomb you are and how dope you can be, featuring edutainment about beauty, life, and health, mixed with a true depiction of how strong she can be. Welcome to the podcast. Thanks for joining us again. So last week on Shenanigans, we talked about getting snatched. Bree had a fun game for us last week, so you should definitely check that out as far as like different diets that are out there, different fad diets. And then we also talked about, am I good enough, and what that means for each of us, and how we kind of compare ourselves or reflect on ourselves of being good enough. We also had a part two discussion of love languages that was based around self-love, which was really great because Tyra walked us through each love language and told us basically how we can implement them for ourselves. And we talked about activated charcoal. We talked about fruits and veggies, different servings that you should have per day, the importance of journaling. And then we got a very sweet and empowering dear sister friend letter. So if you haven't listened to last week's episode, definitely go do that. But let's jump into this week. Breeze up.
Hey, hey. Back with your favorite Brie game. So this week we are going to do These Are My Confessions. So what I have for my ladies in the room are they're going to reach into my confessions box and they're going to pull out a topic. After they read the topic headline or catchphrase, they have to tell us what the incident is that headline is related to. So I'll tell you if you're right or wrong. And then you will have to spill on how you feel about the situation. So, side note, remember all of these topics are about appropriation of the Black culture. So, who wants to go first? Okay, Britt, let's see.
Big booty, full lips, and straight backs.
Oh, I know that one.
Who is this related to?
I know that one, I think.
Dina?
I think so.
Tyra, what do you think it is?
The Kylie Jenner.
It is Kylie Jenner, the Kardashians, all of the above.
Gotcha, okay, yeah.
So, the Kardashian appropriation, you know, they always get a lot of heat for having the big booties, the full lips, doing the cornrows straight back. And then, you know, magazines love to say that they created it. So, yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no. I mean, it does get kind of irritating to see that with, just even with, oh my goodness. It's just funny because I'm like, yeah, because I feel like when I look at her older pictures, you can clearly see a difference from how she looked a few years ago to how she looks now. Right. And all of a sudden now she has a big butt, full lips, and it's just kind of like, okay, where did that come from? At least in my mind, I don't think it's natural. I mean, we're going to be real here. Is it natural? I don't think it is. But, the fact that people talk about how they created it or she created it, no.
Or how that's the new sexy. Well, has that not been sexy when it was on a Black
woman?
Oh,
yeah, of course. And, yeah, that too. Yes. Yeah. It's always, of course, been sexy. Mm. Duh.
But maybe in the eye of the beholder, whoever's looking at that, and you know, maybe they in their minds didn't look at Black women as beautiful or were too embarrassed to because of their race. They couldn't, you know, say that out loud. But now, since different people are kind of taking that on, then now it's more okay for them to be attracted to it, maybe. I don't know.
Definitely. Who's next?
Jenny, go.
Okay, so the dashiki, everyone, behold the newest it item of fashion.
You might not know this one. This is a hard one.
Okay, yeah, because I don't know.
I don't know.
It was in Elle magazine.
Oh.
So Huffington posted like this nice article on 10 different times black culture was appropriated.
Mm-hmm.
And in that magazine, they were talking about how that was the new style of fashion and a lot of different people and cultures were wearing the dashiki.
Yeah,
but that's been a part of the religious culture for a long time, right? So it's kind of like, oh, well, what? Now it's fashion, so it's good, but mm-hmm. y'all used to like literally mm-hmm. kick people out of the country for that. Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts on the dashiki?
I mean, I think if you want to wear one, then wear it. But kind of like the situation that Britney just had with the, like, there was something where Kim Kardashian had the braids and was saying that it's something new, but it's been something that has been happening. So you had just said that, like, in the magazine that they were saying, like, this is a new fashion trend or something like that. So it's like, I mean, it's something that's been around, but people, I guess, are just now starting to wear them.
Yeah, become a hit.
So,
yeah.
All right.
Tyra up next. Sorry if you can't read my handwriting.
No, I can't. I just wanted to make sure I didn't mess it up. Okay. Hashtag squad goals, mainstream media taking over black lingo. When I read squad goals, the person that I thought about was Taylor Swift because I know that was like her thing mm-hmm. or whatever. She would always put squad or whatever. And I just feel like with appropriation, cite your source. Like, I feel like, yeah, some stuff isn't always technically appropriation, but don't take something and like claim it like as you invented it or yeah. give it a new name so it looks right. like it's something different. That's when it become a problem.
Definitely.
So just cite your source or, you know, don't have an issue with black people but then use our stuff.
Exactly. Yep. So Huffington Post definitely said the same thing. They said that the notion of mainstream media snatching up black lingo and running it into the ground isn't new. But when the word squad became synonymous with Taylor Swift's inconsistent friend group and not a Waka Flocka Flame ad lib, it was drowning insulting, or it was downright insulting. Mm-hmm. The number of squad goal explainer articles without a mention of the word stemming back from black slang is just So basically, like you said.
Yeah, I just feel like
cite their source.
Yeah, that saying, everybody wants to be black till it's time to be black. Mm-hmm. So exactly. I just feel like, yeah, that's just not cool.
Aisha, you're our last victim.
Right? Because I'm definitely probably not going to get it. I do know this one. So handshakes, diverse students, and culture. So I did see that video originally with the black male teacher. I don't know these people's names.
I kept their names.
With the black male teacher who basically created custom handshakes for all his students. And then later on, we saw a video surface of a Caucasian woman who had done the same thing with her students who were diverse, if I believe.
Yeah, I think they
were diverse too. So here's the thing. I feel like especially within that instance, I think that it's instance with teachers specifically, especially teachers who may be of the majority, teaching a minority, it can be really difficult to, you know, come up with a common ground, especially if they're like younger students who may automatically think like, oh, we can't relate to each other. We can't be on the same page. But at the same time, I think that it's okay to share ideas within like the teacher community to be able to connect with one another and come to some common ground with your students. But at the same time, it should definitely be authentic. And I don't know, just watching that video, it didn't seem authentic. It just seemed like, oh, I saw that was cool, so I'm going to do it too. And it's like, come up with your own thing. Like, it's okay to get inspired by that, but that didn't mean that it necessarily needed to be copied because it didn't look authentic to me.
Mm-hmm. No, I completely agree. I definitely think best practices are key. Like, definitely take best practices and implement them where you can. But a lot of people are giving her the credit for doing that, you know, mm-hmm. rather than the black male, he kind of went to the wayside after she did it, and they're mm-hmm. like, oh, wow, this white woman is doing this, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, but a black male did it first, and it wasn't seen as that big of a deal.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. I'll be cool.
No, I kind of, I'm on the opposite spectrum of that because I don't believe he was the first person to do it.
Okay. Yeah,
so that's why I don't think he was the first one to go viral. Me, because I was like, I mean, I know people were bashing the Caucasian woman for doing it, but even for me, I mean, I am trying to go into education and being an educator. It's just like, do whatever you need to do to connect with your students. I mean, I didn't see the whole, the feedback from like media or anything saying like, oh, you know, this white teacher's doing this, blah, blah, blah. I didn't see any of that. I really didn't care. Cause once I initially saw the videos together, I was like, why are they doing this? This is what I don't like. I don't like when people compare things that are happening. Like that kind of irritates me, but cause it always just always comes back to, like you say, appropriation and black people. It feels like black people versus white people. And I just, you know, that can go another way. But I mean, I feel like with that, I didn't initially see an issue with it. I was like, hey, do what you gotta do to connect with your students. I mean, it is what it is. Like you said, it's hard. Like Aisha would say, it's kind of hard to find that common ground with students. And, you know, being a white teacher, you know, with a very diverse group of students, you know, you gotta try to figure out, you know, how you can connect with them. And, I mean, hey, maybe, who knows? We don't know if she saw that video first.
Right.
Do we really know that? Like, I mean, that's my thing. Like, don't just try to kind of go with what you feel and from what you know, we all know the media just kind of throws things out there and has you thinking one thing, but you really don't know the background story.
Right.
That's just how I kind of look at stuff. Like, I try not to let the media compromise my mind because I try to be like, okay, but she might not have really seen that video first, or she could have been doing that too, but of course we never know. Hell, she probably did see the video. Who knows? But we really don't.
True, and I think I struggle with that only because then I think about, okay, what are all these black kids going to grow up thinking then? So, like, are they going to think another white person in power or another white person that kind of has authority over them, it's okay to kind of do that kind of stuff? Like, when you see me, like, I'm pretty sure that this white teacher doesn't shake up with any other black person in any other place.
Yeah.
So it's like, because that's how I look at it. I look like you shaking up, like, which is something that black people do. So it's like, if my banker shakes up with me, I'm going to take that the wrong way. If my boss shakes up with me, I'm going to take that the wrong way. Because why are you doing this? It's confusing. So I don't know. That's the only flip side.
Yeah, I kind of looked at it like, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. Like, you know how they always say, like, they want Caucasians to speak out on behalf of black people and you like really understand them, and then when she doesn't know, she's not a black person, so when she maybe saw that or didn't see or whatever, tried to implement that into her classroom, then she's still damned if she did, because she was just trying to really find a way to connect with these people that aren't of her same culture. So it's kind of like, what do you want her to do? Not connect with the students? Connect with the students. She doesn't know how to, so she's trying to implement something else. So I mean, I think that was a hard one to say about black appropriation, but that's been the, you know, new buzz.
I
just feel like I wish people never learned the word appropriation.
Everything
is not appropriation. Like, it's just not. Granted, if you are wearing somebody's cultural dress as a costume or just making a mockery of what they do versus embracing another culture, it's not necessarily appropriation in that instance. If you were trying to respect or, you know, that type of thing. But everything is not appropriation, and everything, you know, that is connected to black people isn't just a black thing.
Right.
Like, so I just think that people take the word and run with it. And don't get me wrong, there are a lot of things that white people Columbus the shit out of. And I mean, let's just keep it real. But at the same time, you know, we're all American, you know, so some things are like American instead of just
instead of just being black or white.
So.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep. Well, thank you, ladies, for spilling your confessions with me today. I think it's time to move over to our hot topic.
Yes. Let's jump right into this hot topic today. So today we're going to talk about comparison and individuality. I think that there's always like a fear of finishing last, and like if you don't do it first or make it first, then you're behind. And that's really started this whole trend of, well, trend, it's not a trend, but it's something that happens, of us always comparing ourselves to one another, especially like within our community. And also, to me, it also brings like out people's jealous streaks. And to me, jealousy is such a waste of time, because You could be jealous over something that you weren't even meant to have in the first place, or be jealous over something that is really supposed to just be an inspiration to you. So why do you think that some women really focus on comparisons and being in competition so much?
I mean, yo,
okay. This is a hard
one. It is hard.
It is.
Because, I mean, hard. I don't know. I almost want to say, is it like a natural instinct to just be like that? Because, I mean, I don't know if, honestly, I really feel like the media has a lot mm-hmm. to do with it. Like, the media and just, like, I want to say social media because, let's be real, our generation, that's what we're into. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I feel like, I'll say for me, for example, I'll see like a lot of pregnant women, you know, and their snapbacks after they mm-hmm. have their babies. And then I look at me and I'm like, what happened? Because I mean, and then I know, you know, everybody doesn't have like that snapback, you know, within like a month or two, you know, after they have their children. And it's just kind of like, when I see that, it does kind of, it's like, dang, like, what can I do to do that? But I also know I have, you know, certain things that I have going on with my body, you know, that someone else might not have. But I do feel like social media and the things that we see, pictures and videos and, you know, anything on Instagram, Facebook, whatever, you know, you're into, I feel like it does have a lot to do with the competition. I mean, I wish I wasn't like that, but I feel like it's in my face and it's kind of hard not to. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah, you like overexpose yourself yeah. to stuff that you normally wouldn't
right.
see yeah. on a daily basis. And of course, everybody on social media, like, it doesn't make it any better that you're mm-hmm. only going to put your best out there.
Right.
So you're only going to put yourself when you're looking the best, when you're mm-hmm. feeling the best, when your body is banging, when you got yep. this and that going on. So I think that's why it's like important to do like social media detoxing.
Yep.
'Cause you got to get yourself out of that, because it's so easy mm-hmm. to like trap yourself yeah. into what this person is doing, what yep. that person is doing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. So when it comes to comparing, I think that sometimes, especially when you're in spaces like we are, there are so many different projects popping mm-hmm. up and blogs popping up and businesses popping up, and you can fall into a comparison mind state, especially when it comes to that. I see it like with different bloggers I talk to all the time. But what's the difference between like completely copying and then utilizing someone as inspiration?
You know, I'm all for helping the next sister friend, and sometimes I feel like as a community we don't do that enough. Mm-hmm. We don't reach back. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I feel like when you're helping the next person, you're really like, you feel like you're doing you, like you're really doing the right thing. And I don't know, that's a hard one, because sometimes some people think they're not copying mm-hmm. when they really are. Mm-hmm. when they really are. And it's just, I think you have to really just find your passion and figure out if that's for you and what you're meant to be doing. Right. And if you feel that way, it'll work out.
Yep.
But if you don't, then that obviously, and you're trying to like mimic someone else, and that just shouldn't be what you're wasting your time on.
I think it will show with your work. Like, definitely. It'll reflect into whatever project or whatever right. content you're putting out there, whether it's like a business, like a blog you said, or just mm-hmm. anything, any type of creativity or any type of product that you're working on. If it's not meant for you, it will definitely show, because I feel like you won't be as successful, and you're always going to try to strive for yep. something else, and it's not going to really work out for you because it's not meant for you. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think definitely in your work, it'll be like that constant battle. Somebody right. like, you know, yeah. you just see people putting out businesses and stuff like that and different products, which is cool. Like, you're gonna do trial and error with a right. lot of things, which, you know, you're supposed to, you know, we do that with Sheet all the time.
Yeah.
But like I said, at the end of the day, you know, if it's not meant for you
right.
and you'll get that vibe if it's not authentic.
Oh yeah.
And I think that, you know, there's a lot of blogs out there that might, you know, talk about natural hair or talk about the same things, But you'll know when it's authentic when you just get a, it's a certain feel that you'll get. And then also with just like the people that, you know, are working on the blog, just like us, I mean, we are all our own individual. And when we're doing our work, we just focus on us. We don't focus about, you know, what the other person is doing or what they're doing out there. And I think that's what makes something so real and authentic when you're worrying about what you're doing and not necessarily comparing yourself to what other people are doing or not doing.
Yeah. Because the point of our community is to uplift, so it would be, like, you know, counterproductive if we weren't doing that, if we weren't, like, uplifting people. But like you said, you would know just, like, with that authenticity vibe. And, I mean, and that's not to say that don't put your blog out there or anything like that at all, because, you know, I read other people's blogs all the time. You know, I get inspired by other people. I'll support other people. But, because we always say, like, there's an audience out there for somebody, even, like, in the natural hair community. There's even, you know, even smaller communities within that. So you'll find your audience, but, you know, you just have to make it about you.
Right. I definitely agree with Tyra, with everyone said, but what Tyra said as well, as far as it's all within the work. And to me, it's all about your execution. Like, you may think that you can look at someone's page or look at someone's blog and, like, oh, I'm gonna follow this to the T because it worked for them and it's gonna work for me. And that's not the case. Like, you may not see what's happening behind the scenes or, like, all the steps and all the work and all the time and all the energy that went into doing that. So if you just try to just copy that and put your own little baby spin on it, then it might not exactly work out that way. I feel like we kind of just answered this too, but how can we focus more on being individuals today, especially with how we see different things on social media constantly?
Well, one thing that I do just myself is, like, for example, when it comes to, like, you know, working out or where I see myself physically in, you know, so-and-so months, I just think about, like, where I'm at and, you know, what I need to do to get to the next level or wherever I want to be. And so, you know, I might be on Instagram looking at different things that other people are doing, but I'm not going to try to do exactly what they're doing because what they're doing may not work for me. And so I pretty much try to meet myself where I'm at and go from there and not try to, you know, copy what exactly somebody else is doing.
Yeah,
I keep saying 2017 is the year of Bria. So at the very beginning of the year, I wrote down, like, my five major goals that I wanted to accomplish for this year. And every time, like, I see different things on social media or whatever, like, oh, I want to travel there, I want to do this and this and that. And then I look back at my goals and reflect on those. And I'm like, if it's not attributing back up to those goals that I'm trying to accomplish for this year, I'm kind of just like, no.
That's
because those are my individual things that I want to accomplish. I'm not trying to compete with anybody. I mean, of course, you want to be out there and be in the mix. But no, I'm not trying to compete with anybody besides myself, really. And I'm like, I'm going to be pissed off if I don't obtain those. So.
Yeah. I think that when I'm, like, on social media and I see what somebody else is doing or, like, what they have going on, I definitely can use it as inspiration. So it kind of can be a good thing. But if I am starting to think negatively about myself because of what I'm seeing, that's when I know that I need to, like, pull out of that atmosphere. I need to, like, not be on social media. I need to not do this and that. I don't follow, like, a lot of Instagram models at all. That's just not... That's just never been my thing. You know, I like to follow, like, real life people. Like,
real life people.
No shade. But yeah, I just I don't really follow a lot of celebrities or, I mean, celebrities that I, like, really like or celebrities that I think are my spirit animals. But yeah, it's time to, like, detox or pull away from social media, definitely, if I'm starting to think negatively about myself because of it.
Cool. Well, I think that you all kind of answered my last question already, so I'll just leave it with our sister friends. If you feel like you're constantly, like, comparing yourself to someone else or you're kind of losing your individual and authentic self, just try to take a step back and figure out some type of way to find a balance, whether it's coming up with a list of things that you're trying to accomplish and make sure that your goals are focused on that. Whether it's doing a social media detox or anything like that
all of us mentioned here today, because ultimately we all have to be proud of our individual selves and be confident in our own magic that we have and that we're putting out. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So thanks for chiming in. Feel free to tweet us or use hashtag shenaniganspod to join a conversation on this hot topic. So next we're going to get started with our girl talk. Ooh. And Tyra has a fun one for us this week.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about sex. Hey, let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex.
Giving a spelling lesson.
Yeah. Okay, real quick, who sings that song? Do y'all know who sings that song?
Pleasure.
Sing what song, right?
Oh. Girl, give me your black card. It's Salt and Pepper, girl.
I'm talking about that song.
Look, yeah, what were we playing? Singing.
Do you know, like, the newer version of that song?
I know.
No, the newer version.
Baby, let's talk about you and...
Oh!
No.
Okay, so this week we are going to talk about the 30, 60, 90 day rule. Uh-oh. So this was inspired by an article written by Tammy O. So if you just happen to be listening, shout out to you. So I'm pretty sure everybody heard about the 90 day rule, but just for those of us who have not, just want to reiterate that the 90 day rule is you are going to wait 90 days before you have sex with your potential mate. And just to retract, I did not want to say before you give it up, because I do not like saying that. I feel like it takes away the autonomy from women over your, like, sexual history or your sexuality. So yeah, I definitely don't like to say giving it up, by the way. But Tammy O thinks that the 90-day rule is another way to police our vaginas. She does not like it. So she came up with the 30, 60, 90-day rule, and it is for women like me who would rather not live with deadlines or expectations, because the 90-day rule basically assumes that after those 90 days that y'all will magically become a couple. And we know with this generation that just does not always happen. So the 30, 60, 90 day rule lets you use your own direction, let you use your own discretion, and it gives you like little checkpoints after those periods of time to assess the status of the relationship. So after 30 days, we know that if you have sex with your potential mate after 30 days, it can be super risky. It can be risky territory. 30 days should be considered the time period of, like, when you don't have real expectations from the person you're, you know, connecting with. And yeah, this is the 21st century, but we know that men somehow still have Stone Age ideas on women, and somehow will consider women the easy one, even if y'all both choose to have sex during this time. And you also run the risk of making it more complicated, or run the risk of it not working out, because sex clutters your mind, but gives you a chance to see what they are working with, if you know what I'm saying. So, or you may just luck out and meet someone who is as mature as you, but you know, sometimes you just don't really want to run that risk. So after 60 days, you may know enough about your partner to make the decision to escalate the relationship or not. Things to consider though is, how much time are y'all spending together? Does he make an effort to romance you? Do you desire to have a serious relationship with him or her? Would you be able to consider if things don't work out the way that you want them to? So 60 days is a good time to decide if you want to keep him or her around for love or sex or nothing at all. And then after 90 days, this is designed to help you take the time to get to know someone and build trust with that person. And you, at this time, maybe want to, like, communicate your goals or your intentions with the person that you are connecting with and see if they align. So how do y'all feel about this 30, 60, 90 day rule?
I mean, Think Like a Man, I feel like, kind of got my life
I feel the complete opposite.
But then I thought, like, it doesn't really work because nowadays when you're, like, in that random situationship or talking, like, if you stop talking for a week, does it start over? Like, I just do I just pick back up on day 15?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Steve Harvey did not get me my life. That could be a whole nother topic for a whole nother day. Because I do not want to think like a man, but yeah, we're not going to go into that. Anybody else have any takeaways?
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, I don't know. Like, I just feel like I'm at a point where I am choosing not to have sex with anybody mm-hmm. until I'm in a relationship just because right. I feel like there's, I don't know, I mean, I'm not actively searching to be in a relationship with anybody, but I've just been very short-tempered with people, and I'm just like, well, you know, I don't want nothing to do with you until mm-hmm. we're, like, official mm-hmm. because I don't want to be giving my energy to somebody that is not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
So it's like, in order for me to have like a sexual relationship with somebody, I really feel like I have to be connected to them in a certain way.
Yeah.
I feel like, but I mean, I feel like in a way there really shouldn't be no rules. Cause if you choose, I mean, if it feels right for both of you all and you choose to do it, then, you know, don't feel bad for doing it. I mean, mm-hmm. you're both grown. You know, if you make a decision to do it, then don't feel bad about it.
Yeah. Now, sister friends.
Yes.
Now, I know we have some.
Oh, Lord. I know we have some who, you know, who are very sex hungry. And that's okay. Being in tune with, you know, the sexual part of yourself is natural. And you might have a very high sex drive, so you might want it a lot more, and it can be really difficult to hold out for 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, a week, you know? I don't know. So it just really depends. But if you find yourself, you know, heartbroken or single at the end of every situationship or relationship that you're in, I just encourage you to take a look back and see how sex played a role in that.
Yes.
Like, was sex the only time where he was affectionate, the only time when he wanted to deal with you? Was that the start of your relationship and the only thing that kind of kept it going? Because if you're able to look at those things, then that may change your perspective on, you know, how frequently you jump, or how quickly and how frequently you jump into bed with somebody. Because that's something, you know, before I was married, that I had to evaluate, and that was a big thing. It wasn't always like set in stone of, oh, I'm gonna wait 30 days, I'm gonna wait 60. I was attempting to be a little bit more conscious, and then sometimes I was a little bit more free, and I was like, well, whatever, we'll just see what happens. And it never ended well. So I just encourage you to reflect on some past relationships or situationships and kind of see how they went, how they ended, how you felt after them, and how sex played a role.
Yes.
I really agree with, like, literally I just took all of her mouth because I had those situations before I was married. I mean, that's the same thing I pretty much went through too, is like I had, you know, situations where I literally had to sit there and think, like, try to figure out how my relationships ended, or situationships, you know, whatever they were. And I really had to reflect, like, dang, like, you know, was sex really the only reason why, you know? And then here I am by myself again, you know? Like, I mean, I just kind of had to really reevaluate some, you know, some past relationships. And that's definitely something that, you know, I would encourage, you know, our sister friends to do too. Like Aisha was saying, I pretty much piggyback off her. Just reevaluate, make sure that, you know, just kind of, you know, don't kind of, you know, down yourself about it, because, I mean, look, let's be real, men are going to take it regardless.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's not entirely your, I wouldn't say it's entirely your fault. I mean, because, I mean, you know, let's all, you know, men can put on that little face like, oh, you know,
oh, yeah,
we all know that, let's be real here, but, you know, just, I mean, all you can do is learn from situations. I mean, I know I did. So, yeah, just kind of be wary of that. That's pretty much all I would have to say, really.
Jenny, were you going to say something?
Yeah,
I was just going to say that I know a few people. I've known a few people who, you know, will do something, I guess, earlier than what they wanted to with someone. And then their expectations from somebody would be more. And then they wonder why, you know, he's not giving, mm-hmm. you know, her more. And I think that whatever you choose to do, you have to set a strong foundation. Mm-hmm. Whether if you're going to do it early on, you have to be okay with him, you know, not being emotionally attached to you. Mm-hmm. But if you choose to, you know, stand your ground and say, no, I'm not going to do it, you have to do it in the beginning.
Yeah.
Because I think if you try to do it afterwards, not saying it's too late, but it's not going to make as big of an impact as it would if you say it from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I mean, at that point, I mean, if he chooses to still, you know, have interactions with you, great. But then he knows up front what you're willing and not willing to right. do. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I want to know from my married sister friend. It's a little personal. I just want to know if you implemented this when your spouse was pursuing you.
Okay, I'll go.
Yeah,
because I'm going to be quick. Okay, yes, kind of. It was really weird because I had kind of just got out of a situationship before me and my husband started dating, and I literally was not looking for a relationship. Mm-hmm. So it really literally came out of nowhere. Like, believe it or not, it was one of those, oh my gosh, stories, because it really didn't. I wasn't looking, and he just happened to show up. But when it did come to sexual relations, I did tell myself that I was not going to rush to have sex, because I felt like I had past situations where, you know, I didn't really think about it, and like, oh, you know, maybe I should like not really, you know, try to go into this as fast, you know, that kind of thing. But I do feel like when I started dating Sharif, I was more mature at that point. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I said, we're going to see how long I can go. Because I'm not gonna lie, my sex drive was pretty high then. So I mean, I was kind of like, I will know, like, if he's not pressuring me or, you know, really wanting to have sex with me, then I feel like I would know, like I would have that mm-hmm. feeling, like, okay, we can take the next step. And that's pretty much how it went. If you're wanting to know a timeline, almost a month. So. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, that's way longer than what I would have normally waited. Yeah. That's the yeah. truth. So, I mean, but yeah, it pretty much did. It changed, just because I was to the point where I was fed up. Because I was like, I'm not about to keep doing this. And then my feelings ended up hurt again. Or I just end up in the same damn situation again. So, yeah, he did change it. No, Aisha.
Let me see how honest I'm gonna be.
You know, I know the answer.
I know Tyra already knows, and she's looking at me like, you better tell the truth. But I mean, me and Nick have a very complicated way in which we got together, like, and I'll try to keep this super short, but basically he liked me, I liked him. I think it was a mutual thing. But he didn't actually really know that I liked him like that, because I was pretty stubborn back then. So me and him probably talked, were friends, didn't talk, went on one date, never went on another date for a course of 2 years before we actually ended up dating. Now, when we started dating, it was real quick. It was like, that's how it started. And a lot of people don't know that.
Oh, come on.
And a lot of people don't know that. And I don't really share that, because I don't want girls to get this idea of, oh, you can randomly have sex with somebody and you're going to end up married. It was something where he literally pursued me for 2 years. Mm. He was constantly trying to take me out, constantly trying to show his interest. And I knew where his head was.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I was okay with that happening at that time. And I also, you know, got that affirmation the next day when he called me. It's like, you want to go to dinner?
And then the next day you want to go to lunch, and the next day you want to go to a park. And so it was a different vibe, and it was a different relationship, and I knew it quickly. I knew it before that even happened. So sometimes you kind of know in the back of your head, like, okay, this really ain't going nowhere, but right, I'm gonna go ahead and do this anyway because I want to. And that's okay. But I also knew what type of man Nick was, and I knew that he wasn't gonna disrespect me in that way. So
He wasn't a stranger.
He wasn't a stranger either. Yeah. He wasn't just somebody I picked up at the club and was like, you want to come home. So it was kind of different to me, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, let me just say this real quick then. Sharif was not random either. I knew him before we started dating. So we met through a mutual friend when I was in high school, and I was a senior in high school. He was already out, but we had known of each other probably for about four or five years before we actually started dating. We were both in relationships at the time when we initially met. So, I mean, we kind of knew a background of each other just because of our mutual friend. So, yeah. So I don't want y'all to think that just because, we just started dating and, we're married. But no, yeah, we knew of each other as well way before. So, yes, don't think that you can just, jump right in. It ain't going to happen and get married. Yeah. It ain't going to happen.
Yeah. Anybody else? All right, well, I guess I will.
Enough today.
You did. I'm so proud of you.
I'm just done for the day. It's all done.
I can't wait to see Nick's reaction when he
I know his mouth's going to drop.
Yeah.
I didn't
I didn't think you were going to be that open. I'm not going to lie. Hey, but, I'm glad that you did.
To this
I'm going to make sure Shriek listens.
Yeah, go on. Just skip right over that part. Hey. So I guess I will just wrap it up with my personal feelings about.
Yes.
This role, okay. Well, one thing that I have noticed about men in our generation, just in general, from like my own personal experiences and then other like sister friends' experiences, that in the beginning, men have no limitations. They have no, like, they don't stop. They don't have boundaries. Mm-hmm. It's like once it crosses way over that line is when they want to retract. Mm-hmm. So what I will say is definitely know yourself. You have to know yourself and be confident in yourself. If you know that you get involved easily after having sex, then you have to be completely careful about that because, and FYI, it is okay if you do. Mm-hmm. It's the, 'cause I mean, let's just be real. You know, sex is more than just physical. There is emotional component to it. Mm-hmm. So it is okay if you are like that, but make sure that you know that. You don't want to keep putting yourself in, like, self-sabotaging situations and trying to figure out why things aren't working out for you or, why you are just in this negative space when it comes to your love life because you keep doing this.
Yeah.
So if you know this about yourself, you definitely need to protect yourself and your energy as far as doing this. Have I used the 30, 60, 90-day rule? I think my connections with people have been all over the board. So I think it's just me and that person's interaction, that person's maturity level there. It's happened before 30 days. Mm. It's happened. I don't think I've waited 90 days. I'm going to just keep it. I'm going to just keep it all the way.
I did one time, and I was mad that I did. I was like, why did I even let that happen?
No. not even going to lie to you.
No. Definitely not for me.
Definitely.
It was.
Yeah. Definitely didn't wait 90 days. But just a takeaway is just use discretion and use discernment when you are deciding who you want to share your body with because it is a beautiful temple. So you want to protect yourself emotionally and spiritually and mentally and even physically. So whatever you choose to do, be safe in all of those aspects. And please let us know if you have implemented the 30, 60, 90 day rule, if you've read the Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man book, if that helped your life, use hashtag shenaniganspod. And let us know how you feel about the topic and how it worked out for you, or if it didn't.
Cool. Well, thanks, Tyra. Okay, so now I'm going to send it over to Jen, who's going to talk to us about something. I have no clue what this is.
Okay. So
For this segment, I would like to introduce the inversion method, and it's supposed to promote hair growth. It's some things that I've seen, like, on YouTube, I've seen on Pinterest, and so what you pretty much do is you're massaging your scalp with oil, but when you're doing it, you pretty much have to, like, bend your head down, and so, like, either you can sit down on a chair and bend your head down, or you can lay on a bed and bend your head back, but with doing that, it's supposed to grow your hair up to an inch a week. If you do choose to do it, you can't do it more than 7 consecutive days in a month. And so if you do it for a week, you're supposed to wait 3 weeks before doing it again. It was actually an experiment or research done on rats, and it said that scalp massages have been proven to help regrow hair. Mm-hmm. But with that, there hasn't been any research proven that it would make your hair grow faster, but only that it will grow or regrow your hair. Mm-hmm. And I haven't tried it before, and I would like to, but with just natural hair, I feel like a lot of people consider good natural hair is if your hair is long. Mm-hmm. Which for me, I mean, that's something that I want to have, you know, bigger, longer hair, but now I'm more focused on the health of my hair instead of it being longer. But I mean, who doesn't want longer hair? So it's something I'm gonna try anyways. The only thing about it is it said that it could possibly cause health complications. And so,
what? So we're not doing
yes.
that.
Yes. No. Okay. It said that if you have current health issues, it's something that you might want to consult with your doctor first.
Okay.
Like if you, it said something like if you have diabetes or something like that, you might want to consult your doctor before.
That's so strange.
Well, it's not the oil that you're using. I guess it's just the downward, like, you bending your head down.
Because how long do you have to do it for?
Oh, I didn't mention it. 4 minutes. So you have to do about 4 minutes.
Okay.
And so, yeah, but you can use, like, olive oil, coconut oil to do it. And it said that, like, if you're leaning down or however you're doing it, if you're feeling, like, faint or dizzy, you just want to make sure that that you get up slowly. But it's something that I would definitely try and see if it works.
I'm trying it.
Okay.
You go just measure a piece of your hair every week?
Yeah.
Just see.
How long are you supposed to do this?
Yeah, but how often are you supposed to do it?
Or how long?
You can do it up to 7 consecutive days in 1 month.
And how long is like a session? How long am I supposed to do
it? 4 minutes.
4 minutes? Okay.
4 minutes.
Okay.
So you do it 4 minutes.
Once a week, that's okay too?
No.
Once a week?
Yeah, if you do it once a week, but I guess if you want to see results, you want to do it like for 7 days.
I got you. Okay.
And then after those 7 days, you wouldn't be able to do it again for another 3 weeks.
Okay.
So yeah, I think that's pretty interesting. I've seen videos and I've seen like people's results and their hair is gone.
Sometimes. I'm like, why doesn't my hair
grow? And I would assume that, you know, I mean, that can help your hair grow, but then also just like, you know, making sure that you're drinking water, eating healthy, and things like that.
Of course.
Will help to increase the growth of it.
So, yeah. Well, cool. Well, we'll have to share our results, Brittany. You'll have to share your results with your new avocado oil.
Yes. Can't wait to use it.
Okay, so next we have Brittany kicking off the health portion of Girl Talk.
Yes, I am going to kick off Healthy Sisters today with cholesterol. So I just wanted to kind of dive into cholesterol because I do feel like a lot of people our age, and just honestly people in general, don't know a lot about cholesterol and how important it is to know your values.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of wanted to give, you know, kind of a definition of cholesterol for those of you who don't really know what it is. It is a type of a waxy substance. It's also called a lipid that is in your body. And it needs, it's that your body needs for many functions. And it includes productions of new cells.
So basically, your cholesterol comes from two sources, internally and externally. Your body does make cholesterol, and then you the cholesterol that you do get from your food. So I did have a question for you all. When was the last time you had your cholesterol taken?
Do you even know if
you've ever had
never.
It
taken? I thought that was something you did after you turned like 40.
It's been years since
the cholesterol pills and stuff.
It's been a couple years since I had my cholesterol check.
Wait, you actually get that done like at a young age?
I mean, you can
the
get
first
it done
time I got mine done, I was 18. Yeah. I was 18. Yeah. You're supposed to get it when you turn 18. That's your first one you're supposed to get.
Because, little known fact, plaque starts building up in your vessels as young as 15 years old. So
okay, nurse talk.
Yeah,
I did not
know
that.
What does that even mean? Plaque in my vessel?
Plaque, so
you
like,
know what plaque is?
Okay.
I mean, wait. I know. Oh, but I'm just not picturing it in my vessels.
Yeah, like it, so you know when people have heart attacks, it's because plaque is blocking the flow of their blood through your vessels. So when you think of heart attacks, you think of older people, but it doesn't start when you're old. It starts as young as 15.
It starts young.
And that all ties into like cholesterol and all of that.
Wait, so how do you cleanse this cholesterol out of
How do you clear out the plaque? We got to brush it out.
Do I do a detox with something? With some oil on your
body? See, that's why you need to learn what your values are, because I mean, there's different ways that you can, you know, improve your values or things like that. But generally, just kind of giving a little bit of a background, generally what's tested when you do get like a blood test with your cholesterol is your total cholesterol is usually taken, your LDL value, which is your bad cholesterol, your HDL, which is your good cholesterol. And a lot of times your triglycerides are tested as well. But bad cholesterol is usually impacted on your diet. And how you eat, and your HDL value can be improved by the amount of exercise that you do get in. So I just kind of like to go over that because I don't think people our age, you know, our generation, you know, people in their 20s, they don't really realize how important it is to know your cholesterol values, because it definitely can help prevent, you know, heart disease and things like that. So definitely, you know, anyone who's listening, sister, friends, you know, anyone, definitely try to get that checked if you haven't yet. If you're like in your mid-20s, definitely get that checked. As I was mentioning earlier, I know that I had got mine first taken when I was 18 years old. But a lot of people don't, like I said, they don't know what it is. And they're like, what is cholesterol? I don't know what it is. So, but yes, it's definitely important. And I did also want to mention that if you do get it taken, and that your values, you know, do kind of seem, you know, a little off or, you know, out of range, your family history can play a history in, I mean, can play a role in your values as well. So even if you, you know, find out your values and you've done just about almost everything you could to improve them and they kind of still stay the same, I mean, your doctor will also let you know this as well, but hereditary and age and gender are definitely two main factors that can determine your cholesterol values as well. And if that is the case, unfortunately, you may have to take medication, but I mean, it's better to, you know, try to control it and know where you're at.
Well, thanks.
Right.
I mean, I hope I didn't make any of you all depressed, but
no.
It's something you should definitely get checked.
Mm-hmm. So, since cholesterol can be hereditary, is it something that, like, if you go to the doctor and you realize, I don't know, like you have bad cholesterol, is it something that you can change, or is like once you have bad cholesterol, you have it?
Oh no, you can definitely improve this. Yeah, that's what I was saying. If you go get it checked and you know you find out your LDL value, your bad cholesterol is out of range, making changes to your diet can definitely improve that. And then, like I mentioned, for your HDL value, if it's too low, usually you want it pretty high. Then you can, you know, try to incorporate exercise. But your HDL value is really the one that is very determined by like family history. So if that one is like low and stays low, you might have to take medication. Even though, like, if you even incorporate exercise or even make changes to your lifestyle and it still stays the same, your doctor will probably just prescribe medication for you.
Okay.
So are there symptoms for high or low cholesterol?
Just like bad
I mean, bad cholesterol? Yeah.
I wouldn't say that there are symptoms. No, I mean, that's what she was saying. Like, you'll have plaque building up. I mean, that's what Nurse Tyra was saying. If you, like, have plaque building up, you can't feel that. I mean, you don't know that it's there.
Oh, well, that's kind of
I mean, that's why it's important to get it checked. I mean, it really is important to get it checked.
But it is associated with, like, your diet, your weight. You know,
if all of that. If all of that plays a role.
Now I'm gonna go get my cholesterol.
I know.
You should. Can't wait to share. I can't wait. I get my actually checked next month. So
and just check everybody.
I get mine checked soon, so I'll let y'all know my values. Hopefully they in good range. Last time I got it checked, I was pregnant, and really you shouldn't get a check when you're pregnant because your values are out of whack anyway. So I'm really interested to see what mine are.
I eat too many burgers.
Too much. Yes.
I hope it's just in decent range. I hope it's not terrible.
Very interesting. Thank you, Brittany.
You're welcome.
Okay. So now it is time for our woo size segment. Leave me alone. So let's go ahead and center our minds and our energy to receive some good food for our mind and body.
It's funny because everybody closes their eyes.
I do every time.
Every time. So today we're going to talk about protecting your energy.
Yes. I'm ready for this.
So there are so many different things that can impact your energy. It could be your own thoughts, emotions, and even your exchanges and interactions with other people. You may also notice that you've become drained after doing certain things or being around certain people, or that your mood shifts after hanging in different crowds. But your energy is really important because it impacts so much of your personal life, including your mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual self. So different ways that you can protect your energy. First of all, does anyone have anything that impacts their energy that they know of?
How other people feel or what they're going through. I take that on. And
yeah. Okay. Anybody else? You're like, no, not really? Okay.
Yeah, just life. Being an adult is draining.
Yeah.
It is. Like, really
gosh,
is.
Gosh, why did I rush to get here?
Exactly. Oh,
okay. I would say giving energy to somebody who's not giving me energy back. Or putting my energy into somebody and I'm not getting anything back. Like I'm big on emotion, and it's like I can get emotionally drained quick.
I thought you were just like that. I was like, oh my god.
Yeah, I've noticed that I'm usually a person that people will call to vent their problems or ask for advice or just to ramble in my ear. And I've noticed that I've been becoming more and more drained by that. And I have to limit people. I won't call nobody out. But it just becomes very draining because I literally, if I'm having a great day and a great mood, and they come to me with all these complaints and issues, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, you just ruined my whole night.
Speaking of that, I do also hate when someone comes to you with the same problem. Like they'll come to you, and then you try to listen and be a listening ear, and you feel for them, and then like they're back at the person say.
It's like a boyfriend. Training.
Then they say it again the next week, and you're like, okay, don't even bring it up to me anymore. Because you obviously ain't leaving them. So.
Yeah, and it's like you try not to be that person that tells someone that. Like, I never want, never want my friends to feel like, oh, you can't come to me and talk to me about something.
For sure.
But, you know, when it's the same thing every week, it's very difficult to, A, give you different advice than I did the last week. Then I'm not a supportive friend if I don't give you advice. And then it's like, you know, so just try to be cognizant of that, because what happens is that person doesn't know that their energy is damaged. And they don't know how to kind of restore it and recenter themselves too. So it may be helpful to call attention to that, you know, to your friends that have that problem. So different ways that you can protect your energy include clearing out your space by decluttering.
So if you have, you know, just a lot of clutter in your house, or especially like in your room, like my room's really stressing me out right now. So you can definitely declutter. Also, cleansing your space by opening up a window and kind of just letting bad energy out, because that is a thing. Energy just kind of hoards itself in spaces. You can also use an oil diffuser with some essential oils. Yes, that is on my checklist next month to get some. You can also burn things like Palo Santo. I think I said that right.
Shout out to Han Fran.
Shout out to Fran. So you can definitely do things like that, because that is actually a wood that has a specialty in healing. So if you burn this wood in your house, it's supposed to basically heal you from things like colds and stress and anxiety and depression and a lot of other things. And last but definitely not least, you can eliminate people and things that aren't beneficial to your life. So, so if you have something that is just really draining your energy, you know, kick it out, because you don't need it. So what are some things that you hope to do to protect your energy, or to protect your energy? What are some things that are impacting it, and how can you protect yourself from it?
I am mindful of who I follow or who I'm friends with on social media.
That's a good one.
Because it definitely connects me to energies or moods that I wouldn't encounter on a regular basis. So, you know, on Facebook, the unfollow button is my friend, because sometimes you just gotta click that. I don't need to defriend you. Right now, you're ranting and venting about like negative things, or you're always like complaining about whatever is going on with you or arguing with people, and I just don't want to see that. So I definitely unfollow that, or like, you know, delete people off Twitter, because if you're just always complaining, I don't want that type of mindset. That's not naturally who I am as a person. So if I can find a way to block anything that is just like not giving me positive energy, not making me feel good, then I definitely will.
Nice. Well, sister friends, if you're listening, did you have some gin?
Yes.
Sorry.
Go ahead. I had something to say. No, I was just going to say that I feel like in the past, sometimes it was hard for me to like stop talking to certain people, but now I've gotten to the point where it's like, okay, well, I'm putting me first, you know, I'm putting my sanity first and my energy first. And not saying I'll just cut people off, but I mean, I'm okay with cutting people off. It's like, if you're, you know, giving me stuff that I don't need in my life, I mean, I'm okay just to cut you off. And I mean, and I'll explain to the person, you know, before just doing that. And if it doesn't change, it's like, okay, well, you don't care about me, you know. So I'm just going to just put it to the side and be okay with, you know, knowing that, okay, well, I'm making, you know, or the right decision to leave this person alone.
I wish I could cut Trump off, because he's been my biggest problem this year. But you know, I just don't listen to the news outlets that he's a part of.
It's like you want to make sure you stay up on what's going on, so that you are aware, because you never know what type of crazy executive order that he could implement that could affect you. But at the same time, you cannot keep doing that to yourself. Like, he has not been here for 30 days. And oh, my God.
Just pray I get back in the country, y'all, after I...
Oh, well, you know, they lifted the ban. He can't implement it again, so you're good.
Great, great.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, you'll be fine.
Well, good. Well, hopefully you learned something. We're going to go back to our centered energy again. So hopefully you learned something. And if you have something that's really impacting your energy in a negative way, you can use those tips to kind of get it out. If you are a person that is carrying that negative energy, sister friend, please try to resolve that, because it can be very difficult for others to have a relationship with you when you kind of carry that around, like complaining a lot. That's something I come in contact with a lot, and it just brings an overall negative spirit to you, and it kind of creates an aura around you. Like, you can see it. You can see it in your face and everything. So just try to rid yourself of that energy. Cool. So let's move on to Dear Sister Friend. I know. We'll have to make up a song.
Okay, Bria. All right, sister friends. Yes, and I do have a question here for everyone. So it does start off like this. So I have been dating this guy on and off for 2 years, and he keeps breaking up with me and has commitment issues. He just moved away and broke up with me again. I feel like there is someone else. My question is, I have feelings for him and do not want to let our relationship go, but I am not sure where it will end up since it did not go anywhere for the last 2 years. Help. Please help.
Can I go?
Yes, Tyra, go.
Get our lives. Get our lives.
I just want women to realize that men are going to do two things in our lives. They are either going to elevate us or devastate us. Relationships are either going to be a benefit to your life or be a burden. I mean, it really is that black and white. And I just feel like, sister friend who wrote this letter, I just feel like, you know, this relationship sounds like it is doing more harm than it is good. I know you... It sounds like you may be afraid to, like, let go because you have a lot invested, or you may not want to be alone. But really, I don't see how this is helping your life. Like, I don't know all the details, but I just think you should let that go, especially if he moved. It was already complicated before he moved, and now you're adding this extra layer. You know, long distance is not easy, and it's making it harder. So I think for your own personal benefit, you have to bite the bullet and rip the Band-Aid off and let it go. And in the long run, you will look back on this and, you know, see how much, you know, you're in a better place because you don't have this toxic thing going on. Because that's exactly what it sounds like.
Sister friend, I got something to say.
We're all about to hop in.
Let his ass go. One thing that I've realized about men is if a man wants you, he's gonna make that known. You're not gonna have to question or wonder how he feels about you because he's gonna let you know. Right. And if he's not, then you shouldn't have to, you know, beg him or always questioning him, or, you know, you shouldn't have to do that because he's gonna let you know.
Come on, man.
Right. That's it. We need to just let it fizzle out because here's the thing. We really sometimes block our own blessings by holding on to our past baggage. So, you know, I'm kind of talking to myself as well. You got to just let it go. You know, he moved away and maybe that's a sign from God. Yes. That's your next blessing.
Listen
trying to
them
come
signs.
To you.
Yeah, and it just overall sounds like you're committed to somebody that's not committed to you. And that's a really negative state to be in. I mean, that can really do some damage to your self-esteem and to what you think you're worth, or are you good enough? You may be asking yourself that to move on and find somebody better, but I'm completely sure that you can find somebody better who's actually willing to commit to you, who's willing to take the time, who isn't breaking your heart a couple of times a year by breaking up with you and all this other stuff. Like, you can find someone who's willing to give you the same thing that you're giving them.
Amen, y'all. Those were some good. That was some good feedback.
For that letter.
Yes.
Got my life.
All right. Well, yeah, so that concluded today's question that we had today. And please don't forget to send those letters and questions to our email, which is dearsisterfriend@thestrengthofshe.com. Send those letters, ladies.
Okay, so now we're going to get ready to wrap up. So just a few sheet announcements. definitely want to engage with us on social media. You can find us on Facebook, on Instagram, on Snapchat, and Twitter. Our Twitter's pretty popping. So you should definitely chime into different conversations that are happening on there at Strength of She. And then you should also use hashtag shenaniganspod to join different combos from our episodes. As Brittany said, definitely write into Dear Sister Friend. And also be sure to check out our blog if you haven't already. We are all bloggers, well, most of us, at the show. I'm just trying to clarify. I'm sorry.
People might be looking
because people
you.
Might go and look for you on the blog and you're not there.
Yeah.
I know. Y'all need to tweet us and tell us, Bria, go blog.
Write something.
Yeah. Sweet us. Oh my gosh. So yeah, definitely check out our blogs. We have new ones up Tuesday through Thursday. If you ever have a topic that you want us to write about, be sure to just let us know on social or via email at hello@thestrengthofshe. So now we're gonna have Jen go ahead and wrap us up for the week.
Okay, so for our She-spiration today. I would like to say that sometimes you need to burn bridges to stop yourself from crossing them again.
This is for that sister friend.
I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it again because I don't think they heard me in the back. Sometimes you need to burn bridges to stop yourself from crossing them again. I feel a lot of people are scared to do that. They're scared to make someone upset or uncomfortable. And I think it's because they want some type of connection with them, even if it's a negative one. And a lot of people hold on to the possibilities of what may happen in the future or who someone may become in the future. So you have to believe that, you have to believe and trust in yourself that you're making the right decision, and don't hold on to someone that doesn't put you first, see your feelings, wants, and needs as a priority. So I'm just gonna leave that there for my sister friends.
Yes, get us together.
Right on time.
So we hope that you enjoyed this week's shenanigans episode. And we hope to see you again here next week, same day, same time. Bye.